Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Complimentary Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Katie Langerman, joined as always by Anthony Hobday. And today we're going to be talking all about landing page style compared to application style. But first, anything new with you this week, Anthony?
I have bad recall under pressure, so even if there was something new with me, I don't know if I'd be able to remember. Although, having said that, every other time you've asked me this, I've been fine.
This is true. Like last time, I think you talked about breaking down a wall to your garden and working on your home. Yeah. Are you enjoying this new layout?
Yeah, well, there's more light in the kitchen, but it looks really bad because we haven't done any work to sort of finish it.
Oh, okay.
Because we're getting the whole thing torn out and redone. So right now it looks like it's a half building site.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably appropriate, but having that for Christmas feels like maybe a bad choice.
Yeah, I'm sure it's kind of hard to have work done on your house around the holidays. Maybe impossible.
Or having that for Christmas and or, because this is supposed to be a timeless episode, having that for your summer party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this could be listened to any time of year.
Yeah.
This is not a winter episode.
True. Ish.
Well, that makes you wonder what a themed, like a seasonal episode of Interface Design Podcast could look like.
We did talk about that. I haven't thought about it yet. Cool.
It's probably best if we don't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of different, well, I should ask you, how has your 2 weeks been?
Good. Nothing. I think last time I said that I'm feeling the same way, wrapping up the year, trying to finish things. Starting to think about taking some time off, getting into that holiday mindset. That's kind of where I'm at. And it's also the time of year where I start reevaluating things like, what do I want my daily schedule to look like? Maybe I want to move some things around. Maybe I want to exercise in the morning instead of the afternoon. And like, what kind of meetings are meaningful to me and what meetings should I add next year? That kind of thing. So starting to get into that mindset of the fresh year already. To me, the year is almost, it feels like the year is over already. I'm already kind of in January in my mind, but yeah.
Looking forward.
That's never
really a bad thing. You just reminded me, when I joined the company I work at now, it was basically 1 year ago. I started in December and then everyone went on holiday for Christmas. So I was left alone because I didn't want to take any holiday immediately. So I was left alone, basically the only person working in the company over Christmas. And so they gave me this open-ended task, which was to redesign the marketing website. And I did that. And yeah, we launched it in sort of January of this year still. And now we're looking at maybe, it's not really confirmed, but maybe redoing the marketing website. So I've started to explore new visual styles, which is quite fun, sort of open-ended stuff. But it's the same time of year, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if every Christmas, basically, or every December, I am asked to re-explore a new website. And that seems like quite a nice thing to do when you're sort of slowing down for the holidays.
Yeah.
Because it's relatively free exploration. You're not on a particularly tight deadline. And probably the new year's a good time to launch something. You know, it feels like a fresh new face.
Yeah. I love the holiday season when everyone leaves and it's quiet and you can really focus in on what you're doing, but also like have a lot more time to explore things because there's no pressure and deadlines. So,
and it's also, as you say, quite relevant to the topic today because I realized that I came in and the first thing I did was design this website. And so I set a visual direction for the website that wasn't really based on the app.
Right.
And so we set that. And then the CEO said, oh, we should change the style of the app to suit how the website looks a bit more.
Interesting.
And so I was like, that's great. So we've got this sort of bolder visual style for the marketing website. And then we're going to make some changes in the app, simpler changes, but still changes to make it look a bit more like that, to make it, you know, sort of feel like it belongs a bit more.
Yeah.
But now I'm designing this new website and I'm taking the visual style cues for the new website from the app. So they're sort of feeding back and forth into each other, it seems.
Yeah. What made you decide to kind of go in a slightly different direction for the landing page when you first joined?
I think I've talked about this briefly before, but basically, I think it was a case of some designers have a personal style that they prefer, and that was me, because I didn't know the company that well yet.
And you're the only designer, right?
Yeah, well, at that point, I wasn't. We had another designer who helped out with a lot of illustrations, especially. And so they helped set the direction as well. But I think it was partly like, this is the visual design direction that I quite enjoy. And it was not the website wasn't ideal. Let's put it that's maybe the diplomatic way to put it, before I joined. And I don't know if it's ideal now, but I think it's cleaner and better. And so I wanted something quite simple as a sort of first task.
Mm-hmm.
And that came through in the visual style. It ended up being quite a simple visual style. So now I'm exploring stuff that's a bit more complex and is based on, I think, my understanding of how the app works. And
right.
I'm trying to sort of introduce people to the visual style, the visual language of the app through the website. But hopefully it'll be a bit more expressive. But yeah, this feels very relevant to this topic. So
that's exciting. It's cool to hear that perspective. It sounds like a lot of fun and an interesting problem to be solving.
Well, it's much easier. Again, this is probably something we'll talk about anyway, but it's much easier if you've only got one designer in this case, because we do now just have one. If they're both taking from the same visual language, then it's probably a bit easier for one person to wrap their head around the whole thing.
Right.
Because it's much easier for me to explore this now that I'm very familiar. Because we redesigned the app and I set all that visual direction as well. So now I'm sort of intimately familiar with all of the visual language we can use because I invented it all, more or less.
Yeah.
So it's much easier for me to think, oh, we use that thing over here, so I'll bring that in. Whereas before I was, not as familiar.
Yes. Well, I think we should briefly go over the difference between landing page style and application style, and just like what we mean by that to kind of set the stage.
Yeah. And hopefully it's obvious. I mean, I think in most cases you look at a landing page, like a marketing website for a company or a product, and then you get the product itself. There's a very clear difference. And it's more of an immediate difference. And I think GitHub's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go on the website and they're trying to convince you of something, like to sign up for GitHub or whatever, and they want to use much more expressive sort of visual language for that because they're trying to market to you, essentially. I mean, everyone knows that adverts are usually quite loud and bold and want to grab your attention. But once you're using the app, a lot of those things don't really help. So most apps I use tend to turn that down. And I think that's partly because you're there for a different purpose once you've actually signed up. They don't want to sell you anything anymore. Except, wow. I will say this is an interesting place where they cross over is sort of upsell pages.
Yes.
Because I've noticed the only time that colors and illustrations start creeping back in is if you find an upsell page, they'll usually have more illustrations and more colors and things. Suddenly they're trying to convince you of something again. Yeah, all that stuff sneaks in.
Yep.
And there's definitely sort of a portal to the other world inside a lot of apps.
I think that's harder too, to like have those little moments of upsell within the product. It's usually political and challenging, I think, for depending on the size of your company, but usually that's a team that owns that and they want to get an upsell moment into the application and they're two different vibes and how do you get them to feel good together?
It's a bit of a battle.
Yes. But also with landing page design, I think you're just solving a different problem, right? Like it's a marketing environment. You're selling something. You want to make an impression, usually very quickly, versus the application that people are actually using is all about like information, utility, depending on what it is. So I think they're two different problem spaces. It'll be interesting to hear us kind of when we get to the point of talking about can one person do both of those things?
Yeah, I guess in some cases one person has to do both, but in other cases there's a lot of people who could do. I quite like your example of the team. There's often like a growth team or something,
yes,
or a marketing team that is pushing for those things. And I've been in those situations, not on my current company, but the previous company I worked for, where some people realize the need for a sort of carousel that would basically let you know about things. And you could put announcements in there, like product announcements. But also it's very tempting for people to put in, upsell messages to say, oh, we've also got this other service that you could pay for on top of your subscription or whatever. And so we put that in there. And it's interesting because it stops being about visual style necessarily and starts being about interaction design, where you are getting in front of someone in a way that they don't necessarily find useful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a war happening there between the purposes, even inside the app, like you were saying.
Yes.
where you've got this, like 90% of the screen is for one purpose and then 10% is for a completely different purpose. It doesn't act the same way. It's more intrusive, you know, it's more sort of active rather than passive, rather than waiting for you to do something. It's trying to get you to do something.
Yes.
And yeah, the visual style sort of naturally follows.
Yeah. I'm working on some like messaging guidelines around like banners and toasts and inline messages. And it's a really massive design problem right now. And something that I'm noticing is when you try to define like sense of urgency or criticalness, or every team thinks that their message is the most critical or urgent. And so you can't really look at it from that angle of like, how urgent is your message? This is how it should appear in the application or the landing page, I guess, is another example, because everyone thinks their message is the most critical and should be the first thing. Same with like navigation. Everyone thinks their button in the global nav should be the most prominent one, or that it should exist at all. So that's a bit of a tangent, I guess, but.
Yeah, I was about to say this is slightly off topic maybe, but one thing I ran into interaction design wise, or sort of planning out how this feature would work, was there's always going to be the incentive to add more messages, but that actually hurts the chance of any one message getting through, being seen, being acted on. And so what mechanic can we add in that basically encourages messages to be removed over time? So do you put in like a countdown timer where 30 days after it's added, it automatically gets removed unless it's renewed? But by the internal team, you know, this is not something the users have to care about. Or maybe you have to set a manual process where someone goes through every month and deletes the things that are no longer relevant. But then everyone's going to always argue that, oh, no, that's still relevant. Unless they've got a new offering that, oh, this replaces that one, so you can get rid of that one, but we're still going to have the same amount of, we're still going to have 18 slides in this carousel that tries to sell you things. So yeah, definitely.
Take notes on that.
Yeah, no, it's a tricky one. And I think I suggested that sort of thing where you say, oh, how should we remove things? And we actually released it without the ability to remove anything, which is silly. So you could like hide something, but you couldn't actually delete it. So there's definitely things in that area that people don't care about and won't care if you don't release with the ability to market to people. But yeah, hopefully that covers roughly what the sort of difference is between the styles.
Yeah.
I think to take it back to visuals, it's generally a lot more muted in an application because you're trying to get out of the person's way. And it's generally a lot less muted in a website because you're trying to get in their way.
Right.
There's a few, I mean, we're talking about landing pages. There are a few examples of websites like gov.uk, like government websites are often sort of caught in the middle where there are things they want you to know. And so they often bring in imagery like photos and things that catch the eye because they're like, want you to know about new tax laws or something. So it's still relatively boring, but they're still trying to promote things that you weren't there to go and, you know, read. But they're definitely there for more sort of an application-y purpose where they're saying you need to come here to look up something, maybe renew a driver's license or whatever it is. And so they're being a lot more application-y in their sort of approach to their visual design, where they're more muted, more organized, less distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always find those interesting where it's definitely an informational website, but it's not trying to market to you, except when it is. And it's interesting to see how they bring those moments in, because I don't think they're quite sort of comfortable doing that. You know, they're doing it very subtly and tastefully.
Yes. It's interesting to think about the crossover between, and this does kind of go back to banners and messaging, I guess, of like a banner that is critical for it's kind of like a blocking thing that the user needs to know before they can complete a task versus a banner upselling something or just more informational. Do they use the same visual style or should they have different visual style? And how do you determine when to use which one? And it could get really busy if you have different visual style for these kinds of things.
And I guess this is a good time to mention it because I'm not sure what will come up again is that that's where visual language is so important, where you can have something that's absolutely wild and trying to get your attention as much as possible. Does that use the same visual language as the thing that's really muted? And it's a skillful sort of thing to be able to make them both feel like they belong in the same sort of shared universe.
Yeah.
And I guess that ties into can or should the same person do both. But I did have one more point, which was one thing I find fascinating is websites or landing pages that have been optimized purely for conversion. I basically never see that side of the internet because a lot of the websites I look at are still designed by people who want it to look good regardless of how well it converts.
Right.
And then they think about conversion, you know. And sometimes it looking good is the reason it converts well. I think people respect the effort that's gone into it. They assume that the company's, you know, good at what they do just because they're good at design. But some websites are only optimized for conversion and they're often just awfully designed websites as far as I'm concerned.
Ugly. Yeah.
And like they're bright and they're colorful and they've got huge text everywhere and they've got things pointing at the buttons that they want you to click. And on the one hand, I respect them because they are converting so well. On the other hand, like, I cannot respect them in a different way because they're not trying to make it look good, which I believe is sort of important for its own sake. They're just trying to make it convert. And so that's the sort of complete opposite end of the spectrum from something that's sitting there and getting out of your way to let you do something like an application.
I suppose that is a skill that you would have to have as someone working on more landing page design, because you could be in a scenario where you have a beautiful design and they run an A-B test on it, or they want to, A-B test is the one that comes to mind, at least for me, when I think of conversion. And the company finds that the way it used to be converts better than your beautiful new polished design. And then you have to make a choice. Like, am I going to push? Am I going to attempt to find something in the middle ground that still converts as well and actually looks good and that I respect as a designer? Or is my job to convert for this website? You know, I think that's hard. That's a hard place to be in. It's more on the business side than maybe application design.
Yeah. And so this leads brilliantly into, can or should the same person do both or be able to do both, right? Should we expect a designer to be able to jump into an application and design it really well and sort of a marketing focused landing page and design that really well? And I guess the first question is, can they? And we can tackle should they separately. And so yeah. I'm interested in your perspective because you work, I think, at the opposite end of the spectrum from that really conversion focused landing page that's actually ends up being quite ugly, because you work on the application side and you're focused on usability and interaction more than you are, oh, let's sell more
Git. Let's sell more Copilot. I think obviously yes, they can. You've basically just explained how you did it, and we all know that you are a wonderful designer. So I think there's I hope that didn't sound sarcastic. That I'm being serious. I don't know why you laughed.
I don't know who the we in we all know you're a wonderful designer is.
Me
I,
and
I
the rest like of the internet.
Yeah, well, that's quite an impressive result for me then. I didn't realize that you all
we all chatted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be people who can do more than one thing really well. Like some designers can write code really well. So there's always, you know, things like that. So I have no doubt that it's possible and it's something that you could strive for. It might depend on the scenario. Like you are working on as a single designer, basically by yourself or with one other person. That's a different scenario than working on a massive team. Like I couldn't handle the complexity of brand work for GitHub on top of also understanding the complexity of the application. They're two different worlds and it would be too much for me to try and grasp all of it. So I tend to stay in the application side with little peeps into the brand side when it's like relevant to the work that I'm doing. And the people working on brand are just like, they're so much more expressive and creative and they almost sound like they're making movies. They sound like art directors when the way they talk about the feelings that they're trying to convey compared to the problems we're trying to solve was like, make this really easy to achieve or to complete this task and make it clean and simple. So.
Yeah, I think that the different language really interests me because that's the sort of art directory language that I try to avoid. I've always had an allergic reaction to it, basically. So
why?
I think that really affects my sort of visual style and everything because I want to be able to explain and do everything in a very clinical way, but still have a nice looking result. And I think people who focus that much on brand, they're not approaching it in a clinical way. And that doesn't
suit emotional
me.
More.
Yeah, I can't really approach design emotionally. So I've always found that interesting and I've always been a bit sort of wary of it because I don't really understand it. But I was going to ask about the crossover there in terms of, I'm assuming with that sort of shared visual language, you still want the application interface to look like it belongs to the GitHub shared universe, as we were talking about before. Are there roles, or can you talk about this in the first place? Are there roles that sort of approach that crossover and say, okay, here's what the brand does, and here's how we could express that in the visual style of the application?
I think it's becoming more of a thing. Like now, there are the people that I see as being like the middle ground kind of crossover people are usually related to design systems in some way, or they're like design engineers. So they have like a really high level understanding of the mechanics of how the application works and how it's built. And so they can bring that perspective into the brand side, if that makes sense, and kind of create some crossover there. And then on the design system side, we have like a whole other design system library that creates a lot of these, that's used for a lot of these marketing pages. And there's some crossover in patterns and like, there's some, we share some low level primitives, I guess, but they're expressed differently. Like there's usually a lot more spacing and bigger type and brighter colors, more colors, a lot more colors. So there's a couple people, there's a couple key people that sort of have either used to work on the application side and then moved into brand. So they have that kind of historical knowledge, or they work on patterns that sort of cross cut over everything.
Yeah. I like your point about low level primitives, because that sort of describes how visual language works in the first place, where here are the sort of shapes we're using either on the marketing website or in the application, you know.
Yeah.
Like the website I'm looking at redesigning now, I'm trying to use a lot more of the shape of the cards we have in the application interface, because a lot of it is card based, you know, because it's an issue tracker, you're moving cards back and forth. And so I realized that rounded rectangle card shape is quite useful as a repeating pattern, as a way to contain things visually. And so is those, as you describe them, low level primitives, which I'm sure is more of a technical term, but it's just a way to say, take this way this thing has been represented visually and break it down into its very sort of basic parts. How can we use those parts in different places, even if one place is really visually complex and one place is really visually simple, at least in terms of the style?
Yeah.
Because the interesting thing is actually an application is sort of more visually complex in terms of the layout and how everything has to interact. But a marketing website is more visually complex in terms of the expressive sort of stylistic elements.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of creating complexity in different ways. And but yeah, you need the same sort of foundation, I suppose.
Sometimes we think about using brand and marketing as a way of experimenting with new patterns as well, because it's a much like more open and free environment to play around with things. And so we might like try something out in brand and then we like it and it makes sense. And then we end up pulling it back into the application level. And I think that's sort of what you were describing too, is like working on the homepage and then starting to bring some of those things back in. So there's definitely, like, those teams should talk to each other, at least.
Yeah. They definitely feed each other, those two.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they do. If you're designing them completely, if one is designing them completely separately, that's probably a bad thing, because you don't get this sense of coherence, right, between the...
Yeah, you'll hit a wall.
The thing you landed on, you know, and the thing you're using. I will say I've always wondered how much of an issue that is if you go to a website and it's really beautifully designed and it gets you to buy the product and then you get the product and actually it feels completely different. How much of a practical difference does that make? I wouldn't be surprised if it's not much, but it still feels bad as a designer because we want things to feel, you know, coherent.
Yep.
There's one example that sprung to mind because I was a bit surprised by this and it's, involves Basecamp, which is now 37 Signals, but the product Basecamp, because their website designs have always been quite different. And so I was curious about how they landed on those. And so I was reading some interviews and things, and I found that, this was a product they designed, and maybe it was the Hey email client they built.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it was an application interface. And actually, they put together a lot of the sort of structure, layout, and the initial direction of the app in HTML, right? So they were treating it very simply with sort of standard browser components. And then I was surprised to find out that they got the marketing designer whose name is Adam Stoddart, who's moved on from 37 Signals. And he's working somewhere else now. But he always had a very sort of specific style. And that was the one it turned out I found quite interesting. Once they'd done a lot of the layout and initial build and stuff, they got in that marketing designer to go over the application interface and suggest ways it could be tweaked to feel more like Basecamp or to feel more like whatever product it was. And I always found that interesting because I had assumed that people who were designing the applications also decided on the visual style. But they had that collaboration where the marketing designer came in and could essentially make it more visually interesting. And their applications are known for being quite visually distinct anyway. They're not really going for that standard sort of plain application interface.
Yeah.
And so that makes more sense that they bring him in. But I found that sort of pass by the marketing designer interesting.
That's very cool. I would love that. I love working with people that like that. I guess it is a little bit more expressive. And it's like they're seeing something, they're looking at things at a different level than you are if you're really in the weeds of your application design, and they're seeing like some little moments that you could enhance something, bring a little of a specific feeling or like a vibe in. I think that's really valuable. That's a really good skill to have. It makes you valuable as a designer to be able to see those things, I think.
Yeah, I found it really interesting, but I also didn't like it because emotionally I'm a sort of a stubborn generalist. And so I think the feedback's really valuable. I'll say that up front, but I want to do everything myself because I believe that I should be able to do everything myself. And I know that you can't do everything well, or you can't do everything at sort of a world-class level, but I basically want to be involved in every single aspect of design. Even if I don't make all the decisions, I still want to be the one sort of drawing the pictures or whatever. So I think if I had to hand it over and give it to a marketing designer, I might feel a bit resentful. But having said that, I think if a marketing designer came... yeah, I think if they came along and said, oh, I suggest these changes, and then asked me to make the changes myself, that would suddenly feel better. It's probably a control issue.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't want someone to pop in and just make a bunch of changes in my work and be like, okay, bye. Enjoy. Maybe I just misunderstood how you were describing how it went at Basecamp, but I always see things as like a more collaborative process. At least I would hope it would be that way.
Yeah, there's definitely a way to approach it that I think wouldn't get me to have that sort of emotional reaction.
Yes.
And I think probably they hadn't done much work in terms of the visual style before someone came along, and maybe they were sort of relying on that person to take that role. So yeah, I shouldn't act as if I would, you know, have a breakdown, but I definitely did feel some kind of emotional reaction to the idea that someone else would come in and do the visual design when I believe that I personally should be able to handle all of that from start to finish. Yeah, and that leads us quite nicely, I think, into another topic, which is when should those things cross the boundaries? Because Basecamp had this idea of a marketing designer coming in and making the app look more like you might expect a Basecamp marketing website to look like. But as we talked about earlier, there's quite a noticeable difference between marketing websites and application interfaces, where one feels plainer, one feels more expressive, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious if you have any thoughts about when, I don't know if you can hear anything outside. I've got some...
I hear something.
Some sort of parade or some Christmas thing, but I can't see what it is.
Carolers at the door.
Yeah, hopefully the listeners are enjoying it.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm curious about when, if you have any ideas about when that should cross the boundary.
Yeah.
Despite our conversation about maybe they promote things and that feels like a time that it shouldn't cross the boundary.
Yeah, I think that's really tricky. The first thing that comes to mind for me right now is Adobe Spectrum. So Adobe has a design system called Spectrum, very well known, probably one of my favorite design systems. And they recently just launched, or they're about to launch, like a V2 of this design system. So there's a really cool article you can read on it that has been going around this week. And it's basically talking about how they're bringing more of the expressive Adobe brand into the design system components. And like how this happened was they experimented with some Adobe Express, some like web-based, I think, Adobe product. I don't remember what it was. Playing with these newer, kind of like less serious, bubbly, there's a lot of rounded corners kind of thing. Design, bringing that into an application, what would that look like at the design system level? And since that was successful, now they want to move forward with bringing that look and feel into Spectrum. So that's like a huge crossover to me. And that's kind of what I was explaining earlier, is like using brand as a way, or marketing landing pages as a way, to experiment with different visual design, then maybe bringing it back into the product. I think that's essentially what they did. And I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing that more. I think material is another one that sort of moved away from this like more serious. I mean, we're staring at a Google Doc right now. There's a lot of bubbly things. They pulled in that like brand look and feel more into the products. So it kind of feels like that's a direction that we're starting to move. I'm fine with that generally, depending on how it looks. I don't think there's anything wrong with serious interfaces. I think certain products, it's kind of cool that they look serious. I'm thinking about like Adobe products specifically. What I struggle with is when there are scenarios where a team wants to upsell something and they want to shove a bunch of gradients and different colors that are nowhere else on the page into an experience that's disruptive to the user in the form of a banner with some kind of like shiny button on it. That's where it feels like we're not solving the right problem. And it's true, because it's not for the user experience, it's to sell something. And so as an application person, you're just like, I'm offended by this gradient in my beautiful application. This isn't good for the user, blah, blah, blah. But the business side is going to be like, sorry, we need to do this, so we have to find a way. And that's where communication, you got it. These teams, if they're completely separate teams, you will eventually hit a place where they need to get something in your application, and then you have built no relationship with them, and it ends up being this completely different design, like injected into your application. So building those relationships early, I think, and more naturally integrating these things can make it easier. But you're always going to hit this. I think in most cases, you're always going to hit some scenario where the growth team wants to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the longest Katie rant we've ever had. Usually I'm the one ranting, but I think you felt quite strongly about that topic.
Yeah.
So I was really glad to hear it. And I think that balance ties back to the thing we talked about, people, like can or should the same people do this? And I think you're right. If you have completely separate people, then you're not going to have that coherence. And so that's sort of an argument for the same people should be deciding on, let's say, the application interface and the marketing website, or maybe in big teams, maybe you have the same people doing a sort of bridge function where they're trying to translate back and forth. But then the idea of should the same people do that, I think there's this like an emotional component where the people who are really into the application interface, like yourself, sort of feel offended by this sort of intrusion of marketing. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe they provide a good check and balance. On the efforts, and they need to push back against things that will make the application interface worse. But maybe that also means that if things do need to happen for commercial reasons, maybe they're not the best people to, you know, drop the guillotine, or however you think of it. Maybe maybe you need someone who's a bit more cold-hearted in terms of the commercial goals of the business to come in and be like, no, we should do this. So that there's definitely a hard balance to strike there. Yeah. I mean, in much smaller teams, if you only have one designer, then you're sort of stuck to what you've got in terms of whether that person wants to do it. And probably they'll be arguing one way or the other in every conversation. Right. You reminded me of one example, which is the Material U, which was Google's new material design sort of system. And it ties into this trend, which probably you've noticed, and which ties into your example of the design system article you're reading about Adobe. I've started to notice that a lot more design systems are being used for marketing and identity purposes. And I think they've realized that, oh, people are using, you know, we've got a billion people using this OS or this app, whatever it is, hundreds of millions maybe. And they've realized that actually we can represent the identity of our company through this design system that people see every day. And maybe that's at odds with usability or, you know, clarity or something. But you see it really strongly in things like Material U, because they put out this big marketing push and they showed all these funky sort of maybe 80s inspired, maybe six, I don't know what era inspired them, but these like funky design components that you can have on your Android phone's home screen. And some of them look quite hard to use. Like they had a clock with a a squiggly line. It's like the second hand. And so you don't know where that's pointing because it's squiggly. And so I was seeing this sort of thing and thinking, like, this is more of a branding exercise than it is an application interface design exercise. And they've sort of made the application itself suffer for the purposes of personal identity. And that was the whole point of the marketing, right? They were calling it Material You, because it's meant to represent you as a person, not necessarily meant to represent you having a good time with the interface.
Right.
Or, you know, being able to use it properly. And so I'm seeing that a lot more because I've always found it a bit strange that companies use their design systems as a marketing tool and they publish them, you know, for the whole website, for the whole web to see. And that's been going on for probably close to or over a decade now, where, you know, you had companies like MailChimp sort of leading the way by publishing their whole design system so you could read about their tone of voice and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it started because they saw it as a way to prove their expertise in designing application interfaces. But now you've got people writing Medium articles about, oh, how we redesigned the buttons for Shopify or whatever. And I remember you sent me a link to that Shopify Polaris sort of redesign article. And I was really interested to read it because they were talking about why their buttons were now a lot more expressive. But they put it behind the Medium paywall. So I couldn't read it.
Oh.
And it just seemed so strange for me that...
How did I get around that?
I think if you subscribe to Medium, actually, then you get access. But if you're not subscribed, like if you don't have a user account, so maybe it's
because I work on design systems that I just get to read all of the articles for free.
Yeah, I just find that mad that like design systems are now such a popular topic that they can go behind the Medium sort of subscriber paywall, and they're used for marketing purposes in that way. They're not just used for like, oh, here's how we designed our thing. Maybe you could design it the same way. And so there's a lot of branding sort of creeping into that idea of these applications are used by millions, and therefore they are a marketing exercise or an awareness exercise in themselves.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you have anything else you want to mention about crossing the boundary or like branding design kind of leaking into product.
Yes, there was one example. I think I brought this up before and it started this whole idea for this episode, which was in the issue tracking software Height.
Yes.
Which I think you can go and see at height.app on the web, because they've got some examples in their sort of screenshots. They introduced this pattern where they've got these standard looking application buttons, but if you hover over them, you get this sort of rainbow gradient effect when you hover over them. And they didn't just add that to their website, they added it to their application interface, which I've not seen before, I don't think. And so it's only a hover effect, which means it's less sort of in your face than if it was the standard effect for all the buttons by default. But they also talked about it on Twitter at the time, now X, and they used it as a marketing exercise to say, look at the buttons we've added to the application. And I found that so interesting because I don't think you'd ever get an application interface pointing out, look at the buttons we've got, if they were quite sort of boring, plain buttons, like, oh, we've changed the corner radius or something. They wouldn't really use that as a marketing exercise. But they'd added this gradient, I think, as a way to represent some marketing push they were doing, maybe for a new feature. And I think it's the same with things like the Polaris Shopify article you sent me, where they were talking about their buttons. And there's definitely this movement now towards a bit of, like, more depth effects on buttons, more visually rich buttons.
Yeah.
That people are talking about, like, the death of flat design and things. And I think people are seeing that as a way to sort of increase their exposure or improve marketing. And so they are doing things like changing the buttons in their relatively plain application interface and then writing articles and posting about these new buttons they've got that are a bit more expressive and that you expect less. And it doesn't feel like the end point of that movement is a good place. It feels like maybe application interfaces might end up being too branded or too visually rich.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to watch if it does happen.
It's just kind of funny. Like, when you think about it, it's like, join our website and you'll get rainbow buttons on hover. Like, that's the big selling point. But, like, I guess people would think that's cool. I mean, some people probably think it's cool.
Well, it's different, right? No one else is doing it. So it attracts attention just because it's novel.
Ah, yes.
As long as you're the first people to add rainbow buttons. If you're the last, then you've done something wrong.
Yeah, that's not going to work the same. Yeah, depends on the audience. I think it's a little distracting personally, but I'm no fun. I want utility and things to work well and be accessible.
We need utility and we'll never not need it. So,
yeah. Job security.
You can always guarantee that we need people who understand the benefit of utility. Mm-hmm. You can't guarantee that we'll need people who understand the benefit of
rainbow buttons. Sort of
maximum in your faceness, because yeah. I think maybe that sort of thing swings as a pendulum more often in terms of how much of it we want.
Yep.
But there's never a time in history where we're like, no, this decade we want less utility. And then next decade we'll want more utility.
Yes. Yeah.
Clarity, pff, just make it fun. And we can have clarity later. It's boring.
All right. Well, we're at time here. So let's wrap this thing up. I think that was a cool conversation. Definitely sounds like there's some crossover. Maybe we're seeing more crossover with landing page style and application style. And it'll be interesting to see, especially for me from the design systems perspective, as we're seeing a lot more mature design systems kind of coming up on their like 5-10 year mark. And they're like redefining what their design system is, seeing how much more brand gets in there and more expressive design as time goes on will be interesting.
Yeah, we predicted it first. Look out for it.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening this week, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.